Welcome to episode 4 of the Joint Status Report, a cannabis industry podcast presented by Lock Lord. We are your hosts, Doug Sargent and David Standa, and today we are joined by special guest Ryan Holtz. Ryan is a partner in the Chicago office of Lock Lord and a member of the Cannabis Industry Group. It's great to have you here, Ryan.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great. So there were a lot of items in the news, and I think we want to start with something that just broke yesterday, and that involved an announcement of some new guidelines from the National Credit Union Association. David, can you fill us in on what happened yesterday?
Yeah, so the NCUA issued new guidelines to its members that allow for federally insured credit unions to provide certain financial services to legally operating hemp businesses. And what essentially this means is credit unions that were previously worried about providing banking services, financial services to hemp-related businesses now at least have the blessing of their association to do so. When you think hemp-related businesses, the most, I guess, critical industry you're thinking of is the CBD industry, which obviously is a massive industry. It has exploded since the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill, and these guidelines appear to be the NCUA's attempt to get their members on board and to open up their services to those CBD companies. Obviously, farmers, hemp cultivators will benefit from this as well. The NCUA's press release does indicate that the growth in hemp-related commerce could provide new economic opportunities for some communities and will create a need for such businesses to be able to access capital and financial services while focusing on the agricultural part of the industry. But I personally think that the CBD companies are going to be the ones going to benefit the most from this. It should also be noted that the NCUA points out the need to comply with the Bank Secrecy Act as well as anti-money laundering requirements. So there's still obligations on behalf of the credit union to make sure that they know who their clients are and that they're complying with the various federal regulations that apply to them. But the NCUA, at least, is giving the green light for these institutions to start serving hemp-related businesses and the hemp and CBD industry.
Well, that sounds like a very positive development, but, you know, that announcement comes on the heels of some news out of Alaska that wasn't quite as positive. Ryan, can you tell us about that news that hit late last week?
Yeah, late last week, an Alaska credit union, a company called Credit Union One, announced that it will be ending its pilot program to provide checking and savings accounts to cannabis-related businesses. So while the Credit Union Association is coming out and saying we can go forward with this, Credit Union One is saying no, full stop. And the reason Credit Union provided is that its insurance carrier indicated it will be no longer providing insurance coverage as a result of the credit union's cannabis banking program. And so it just illustrates, again, the kind of intersection between the various industries, and insurance remains a key stumbling block for many in the business, including in the banking industry. And so it's something to watch. If there's no insurance available, perhaps the Credit Union Association's proclamation doesn't get us very far.
That's a good point. And some news that hit last week, you know, regarding the American Bar Association and a resolution it passed. You know, David, can you walk us through what the resolution that was passed? Or I guess Ryan, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, so obviously the American Bar Association is an issue near and dear to our hearts here as lawyers. So last week, the ABA passed a resolution, and the ABA indicated urges Congress to enact legislation to exempt from the Controlled Substances Act any production, distribution, possession, or use of marijuana carried out in compliance with state law. This was, interestingly enough, passed without any audible opposition, which I think is illustrative of exactly how far we've come here. The ABA has made the point very clearly that it's not taking a position per se on whether marijuana should be legalized or not, but nevertheless is promoting a sort of states' rights position. The ABA's resolution is consistent with one of the pieces of legislation making its way through Congress, specifically the United States Senate, called the Strengthening the 10th Amendment Through Entrusting States Act.
The one we call the States Act.
Yeah, right, the States Act. And that is a bill that's actually been championed by Senator Gardner, a Republican out of Colorado, and Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat out of Massachusetts. That is a political odd couple, to say the least. Senator Gardner is a relatively conservative senator from Colorado. Senator Warren is a liberal senator out of Massachusetts. They don't generally see eye to eye on many issues, but they do see eye to eye on this one. And the States Act would basically allow states to determine their own marijuana policies without any federal interference. So they could decide if they want it legal. If you want it legal in Colorado and you don't want it legal in North Dakota, that's perfectly okay. The federal government simply won't interfere with the legislation passed by the states.
So just to clarify here, this would just simply be deschedulizing cannabis from, or marijuana now rather, from Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act, as opposed to, you know, people refer to legalization. So it's not legalizing it at the federal level, because if that happened, states wouldn't be allowed to criminalize it, correct?
Correct. If you fully legalized it, akin to, say, alcohol, no states would be allowed to prohibit its use. The States Act would not do that. The States Act would basically have the federal government step back from any kind of or any significant regulatory authority. Obviously, the details would need to be worked out, especially with respect to interstate commerce. But generally, the states within their own borders would have the rights to decide what is legal and what is not legal. Amount of marijuana, for instance, where you can where you can use it, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, Ryan, you mentioned that the two senators that sponsor the States Act make for odd bedfellows, and that seems to happen a lot when it comes to marijuana. What's the effect of the ABA's announcement here with regard to cover the politicians might be looking for when marijuana legislation hits the floor, hopefully this fall?
I think every bit helps. I think at this point, given the debate on legalization, there is enough cover for anybody who is interested in supporting marijuana legalization. The public support is continuing to grow, but the ABA is a huge organization, 411,000 members, I believe. The legal community is directly impacted by marijuana and marijuana legalization, and so I think, again, it's just another piece of the puzzle as we move forward toward a legalization scheme. And I think the focus on the States Act is an interesting one. I personally have long felt that the States Act is one of the most politically viable kind of legalization tools available, because it combines elements that both sides of the political aisle can agree on. You have the states' rights approach, which has long been championed by people on the right as a way to deal with kind of an overreaching federal government. And then you have what would amount to an effective legalization in a significant amount of states, certainly a significant population. The significant population centers would have full legalization, which appeals to those on the left. So I think, politically speaking, the fact that Senators Gardner and Warren are on this is indicative of the fact that this has some political legs going forward.
Great. And speaking of that timing and the federal legalization or sometimes decriminalization efforts, you know, there was an interview this past weekend with Representative Earl Blumenauer from Oregon. David, can you kind of fill us in on that interview and the congressman's thoughts on just when we may see federal legalization or decriminalization?
Yeah. Congressman Blumenauer gave about a 15-minute interview on Sunday morning Only part of it related to marijuana, but the picture he painted was a very positive one. I'm not sure how much of his predictions will actually come true, but he announced very confidently that Mexico will legalize marijuana. He said they're going to go, quote-unquote, full legal this fall. He also continues to believe that the United States will get legislation passed this fall for federal legalization. Legalization might be a strong word there. As you just indicated, Doug, maybe we're talking about more about decriminalization at the federal level, something along the lines of the States Act. He also indicated that if President Trump would stop creating Twitter storms, that marijuana would get legalized faster. His point being that as things happen in the political landscape that distract lawmakers from the marijuana question, that's obviously an easy question to get pushed to the background. That legislation doesn't get to the floor, or the debates that need to happen about it don't happen, and as a result, there are delays. So overall, he's obviously very bullish, has been for several years when it comes to the legalization of marijuana. This interview was no different, but it was interesting to see his views on Mexico and also his belief that that legalization could happen here in 2019. I think that is maybe a little too high hopes, but I guess it's possible. But it was interesting.
Absolutely, and you know, Ryan, could you? What do you think the ramifications would be if Mexico went, quote unquote, full legal? And would that have any impact on the U.S. and maybe the timing? Would it speed things up? You know, what are your thoughts on how that might affect the U.S., especially considering, our neighbors to the north have legalized cannabis as well?
Well, again, as we talked about with the ABA, I think, this is another chip. I think Mexico would be interesting in another dynamic as to how it played out. There's some opponents of legalization who are concerned about, how this plays out in terms of crime and whatnot and public safety and things of that nature. And I think seeing how Mexico plays out, Mexico obviously has a serious drug cartel issue, public safety issues associated with that. And so seeing how that plays out in Mexico will be interesting as a kind of primer for how things might look in the United States. If things go smoothly there with legalization, or maybe there is even a downturn in some of the drug-related violence, that would be a huge boost for the industry up here. If it goes poorly, it could revitalize some opponents. So I think people will be watching it closely, but I don't know if it moves the needle a ton.
And speaking of concerns and criminal issues, I saw that the FBI came out with some news this week and expressed some concerns. David, why don't you kind of tell us what the FBI came out with this week?
Yeah, so the FBI released, what's technically a one-minute podcast where they had...
Everybody's trying to get in the podcast game.
Yeah, exactly. it essentially is like a public service announcement calling on all individuals, kind of like if you say something or if you see something, say something announcement. They're concerned about corruption in the cannabis industry, specifically when it comes to politicians or regulatory bodies being bribed to issue licenses, because where marijuana is legal in the United States is so regulated, there's the concern that the individuals that are responsible for issuing those licenses would be susceptible to bribery. It's an interesting, 1 minute little snippet that they put out. They indicate that the corruption is more prevalent in Western states where the licensing is decentralized, meaning that there's more opportunities, more individuals to get to that you could essentially bribe and be awarded licenses. And the concern there is obviously, that it eliminates the level playing field that the vote, either the ballot initiatives or in Illinois, the legislature has tried to create.
It seems like it would, mute the impact of social equity initiatives, right?
Absolutely. And then actually, the executive director of Normal, Eric Altieri actually addressed that point. Well, first he said, as awkward as it feels to sort of side with the FBI, it is imperative that states ensure the licensing for cannabis business is an open and fair process. And again, he's talking about lowering the barriers of entry and allowing for the emerging legal marijuana market to grow organically with all applicants having a fair process.
Thanks, David. We appreciate that. I think that wraps up episode 4. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed that, and hopefully I'll be invited back.
We'll see about that, but we do have some interviews lined up, and you know, we're hopeful that the next podcast will include an interview. If not, it'll hopefully be the week after that, but we do have some great interviews lined up that we're really excited about. And for any developments in the interim, please check out our blog. It's cannabis.locklord.com. Thanks very much.